morning's first reading comes from Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33, which can be found on page 584 of your Pew Bible in the Old Testament section. Wisdom cries out in the street. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you refused, have stretched out my hand, and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. Our second reading comes from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is in the New Testament, page 230. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and the Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Last week, we were talking about what our mission statement was. It's more than a mission statement. It's more than just something that we put on a header. We know what the mission statement of the United Methodist Church is: to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, how do we do that? I told you last week that there's kind of a pattern to it. In the second chapter of James, we invite, we welcome, we encourage, we empower, we motivate, we educate, we train, we practice, we plan, we pray, and we serve. All of those things are serving people in our community. Those are ways in which we can encourage and invite and empower people that are already in our congregation to be more powerful as disciples of Christ. Why? You know, Fred and Jerry aren't here, but, you know, they started bringing a family of five to Mary's class. Now, those kids enjoy the class. Now, who wouldn't enjoy being in a class with Mary? Okay, right? But when they were standing here in front of our church that Sunday morning, putting into practice Ephesians 6:10, the full armor of Christ, then we are moving into the position where we are affecting their lives. It may be a little bit at first. Hopefully it will encourage them to be more involved, to seek more. That's how we begin that process. One of the great challenges we have is, you know, one of the things that we do is, it's the Word of God. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, the Word was with God, and nothing was created without Him, and the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. How do most of us hear the Word? Someone speaks it. How do they speak it? With a tongue. And as the scripture says, out of that same mouth there come praises to God, and out of that same mouth are curses. It's a double-edged sword. It's one of those great, great challenges that we face. James tells us, for all of us make many mistakes. Yeah, this is verse 2. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. How many? I know Bob Tabler's not here, so we don't have to worry about Bob. Yeah, I know. Chuck's ready to stick his hand up there. Oh, okay. I thought she was going to say how perfect her mother is, or how perfect her father is, or okay, or Oma's perfect, right? Oma's perfect. Okay, but let's borrow something from Paul in Romans. He says, the good that I would do, that I don't do. The evil that I would not do, that I do. Woe is me. But verse 25 says, but thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. In Him, I can do these things. We know the analogy that we have between a ship and its rudder and a horse and a bridle. And we know that there are some of us who are here that were in the Navy. Don? Barts. We know how that rudder is not a very big piece of a ship. And yet, by skillfully maneuvering that, we can guide the ship. Or the bridle in a horse. But a tongue, equally small, can cause great, great trouble. We have to be mindful of how we use it. Should we use it to encourage? Should we use it to invite? Should we use it to train? Should we use it to motivate? Yes. And in those ways, we're making disciples of Christ Jesus. But how do we do it? How do we restrain our tongues? We're still working on that. It's not Terry's fault, okay? She does have a very large task ahead of her. But she's equal to the task. 33 years and counting, so. Between those metaphors, we also know that we have a hope. Now, if we were left to our own devices, we would be hopeless. There's just no way. Somebody's going to say something, pops right out of our mouth, here's the reaction. Somebody shoots a barb at us, counterpunch. They send another, counterpunch. Then when people are talking, what are we doing? I'm sitting here thinking of my response so I can retort or at least provide an argument to whatever point they're posing. How much of our lives today is that, whether it's political or whether it's in the personal? We stop having conversations. And that's the very thing we must do. Because what happens in a conversation? Two people talk, yes. Or three, or four, several. But at some point in time, you have to stop and you listen. And not only do you listen, because here's the thing. You know, our minds are marvelous things. I can talk and listen at the same time. At a degraded level. Physically, we can actually hear and talk at the same time. If someone else is speaking. But it's not hearing everything that that person, we're not acknowledging or we're not recognizing everything that person sees or says. Our ears hear it, but is it picked up in our brain? Do we actually activate on it? Do we actually think about it? Do we actually understand what it is they said? Your body is listening all the time. Your ears don't stop and close. Your mouth does. Your ears are always open. Right, Dave? Even when we have a blank look on our face, our ears are still listening. The problem is the gray matter in between those two ears is not awake and alert and paying attention. That's the human condition. That's the nature of us. Just as Paul said and describes the nature, the good that I would do that I don't do. The evil that I wouldn't do, that I do. That's the human nature. I'm supposed to be listening. I am listening. It's going in one ear, it's coming out the other. I see a lot of ladies nodding. I see a lot of guys going. The challenge is, if left to our own devices, none of us is going to be able to manage it. Just as Paul said in Romans 7, verse 25, it's by the grace of God. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's that power. Because, you know, none of us can actually make a disciple of Jesus Christ. We can be a disciple who is following Christ Jesus because, you know, Jesus had a lot of people who were following him. There was this rich young ruler who came up to him one time and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And what does Jesus tell him? Follow the Ten Commandments. Guys puffs up his chest a little bit, says, "Check, I've done that since I was born." And then he says, "You have to give away all that you have to the poor. And then you have to take up your cross and follow me." And the poor man, he was a rich man, he becomes a poor man. Because he shrinks. Because of what it's going to cost him to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now we look at the story of that man and say, you know, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. He loved money, power, possessions. Little g's, little gods. Not the big G. Making disciples of Jesus Christ is walking the walk. talking the talk. And what are we talking? The Word of Christ. The Word of God. And that is what? Love. Love unconditional. Love never ending. Love. Love. And love. Jesus tells us to love one another. How? As Jesus has loved us. How much did Jesus love us? He went to the cross for you and for me. Now that's love. So again, choose to use the instrument, the tongue, to uplift, to motivate, to encourage, to invite, to empower, to train, to enthuse, invigorate. Use it to offer a word of encouragement. Use it to lift to God praises for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The rest of the stuff's going to happen, we know. But let's focus on being a disciple of Christ and thereby making disciples of Christ. Be an instrument of His peace. Shalom.